For decades, the power of women's hormone shifts has been unrecognized and underestimated. Most women have a lack of education when it comes to the endocrine system and how and why our hormones affect our minds, moods, and behaviors. Welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, with your host, Leslie Carol Botha, sponsored by True Hope Incorporated. When women thrive, everyone thrives. That is True Hope. Now, here is your host, Leslie Botha.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. I'm Leslie Carol Botha, your host, and I am proud to be here on this show that is bringing thousands of women and their families a message of hope. I am a women's health educator, author, publisher, and internationally recognized expert on the connection between our minds, moods, and hormone cycles, a condition called mood disorders that dates all the way back in time to Aristotle but never understood until now. Much of this information is included in my new book, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle, vital information for every woman and for the men in their lives. And you can find out more about my book, my work, and the latest news in women's health on my blog, Holy Hormones Journal, at holyhormones.com. I would not be here today without the support and the belief of my sponsor, True Hope Incorporated, the leaders in brain health, the only nutritional company with over 20 independent published studies on the use of the Empower Plus micronutrient supplement for bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, autism, ADHD, as well as other neurological imbalances. Micronutrient therapy is based on new and exciting science-based evidence that will forever change how mood disorders are viewed and managed. Last week's guest, Autumn Stringham, is a living testament to that. Within 2.5 months after starting micronutrient therapy, she was off her 5 different drug combinations for bipolar 1 with rapid cycles and schizophrenic tendencies and has now been medication-free since 1995. Autumn's interview is archived on the Holy Hormones landing page on Voice America. Today's show, the first in a 2-part series, is titled Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Micronutrients, Setting the Stage. My guest is psychology researcher Bonnie Kaplan, PhD, who believes we are in a global mental illness epidemic. And scientists agree. In an article released on July 24th in the Chicago Tribune, Reuters reported that the rising costs of mental illness such as dementia, depression, and addiction are overwhelming. Estimated cost of brain disorder in Britain alone are at more than $172 billion. Scientists are saying the same amount of funding is needed for research. Dr. Kaplan will say that independent, peer-reviewed research on broad-spectrum micronutrient treatment for mental disorders has already been conducted and published. Those studies will be discussed in part 2 of this series, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Micronutrients Treatment Studies, on August 22nd. Today, we are setting the stage. In my humble opinion, one cannot understand the significance of the solution until one understands the problem. The reality is, the media is filled with horror stories of violence, abuse, crazed acts, and mass killings. It is now estimated that around the world, 1 in 3 women will be raped, beaten, or coerced into sex in their lifetime. Women are unhappy, men are unhappy, and our children are suffering from anxiety, depression, autism, and learning disabilities at an earlier and earlier age. How did we get here? I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he basically asked the same question, only he referenced it in terms of the media. And this is what he said. 20 years ago, our favorite television show was Friends. A group of people, peers, professionals, friends, loving their life, having fun in life, and respecting each other, who went through life's journeys together. Today, America's favorite show is Duck Dynasty. America's favorite family, big bearded, camo-clad family out of the Deep South. A big difference from where we were 20 years ago. How did we get here? Dr. Bonnie Kaplan is going to provide a context so we can understand the events that have brought us to this point in time. She is a professor in the Faculty of Medicine, Department of Pediatrics, Department of Community Health Sciences at the University of Calgary, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Originally from Ohio, she did all her training at the University of Chicago and Brandeis University in experimental and physiological psychology. Her interest in the biological basis of behavior led to postdoctoral training and then faculty research in neurophysiology at West Haven, Connecticut VA Hospital Neuropsychology Laboratory and Yale University Department of Neurology. She then moved to Canada in 1979, and she has published widely on the biological basis of developmental disorders and mental health, particularly the contribution of nutrition to brain development and brain function. And her nutrition-related studies have focused on broad-spectrum micronutrient treatments for mental disorders and the effect of intrauterine nutrition on brain development and maternal health. Bonnie Kaplan, welcome to Holy Hormones, honey.
Well, thanks very much, Leslie. I'm pleased to be here.
I'm glad to have you. What did you think about that analogy from where we were with our favorite television show 20 years ago
to where we are today? It made me wonder what Duck Dynasty is. I'm completely unfamiliar with it.
Oh, well, take a peek when you get off this radio show.
it sounds like I might want to avoid it.
It's a whole different genre. Well, it's as I said, a camo. I have to be careful with my words, but a bearded men, a camo-clad family, and they all have crazed expressions on their faces.
Oh, it's not Leave It to Beaver anymore.
No, we ain't in Kansas anymore.
No.
That's for sure. But tell us, what is your interest in this field? I gave a brief bio, but your interest, and start explaining how we got to this point of just everybody accepting that they don't feel well, and that's the norm.
Sure. Well, my interest in the field is I've had an enduring interest in nutrition for many, many years. I don't even know where it came from, Leslie, but it led me to want to learn a lot about neurophysiology and how brain cells work and the role of micronutrients. And I use the word micronutrients usually to refer to mostly vitamins and minerals, so ordinary things, right, micronutrients, the effect of those on how those cells function. You raised a really interesting point in your introduction that I want to just add to. You talked about the terrific cost of mental disorders, and this is happening worldwide. I have some World Health Organization data in front of me that I think your listeners might be interested in that tells you just where we are with this.
Oh, share it, yes.
We all think that cardiovascular disease is such a huge worldwide burden and cancer is a worldwide burden. Well, when the WHO looks at neuropsychiatric diseases, conditions. We don't call them diseases. Conditions. They actually represent a larger global burden of disease than even cardiovascular disease or cancer. That wasn't true even 5 years ago.
Right.
Mental disorders have just caught up and surpassed heart and cancer, which is a phenomenal statement, I think, because also, you have to think about the fact that when WHO is collecting this information, they don't even try to collect the burden on families. And I know many of your listeners are in situations where one person might be suffering from an anxiety or a mood disorder, but the reality is the whole family suffers. So there's the family impact and the societal burdens. We don't even know how to calculate that. Apparently, about 20% of the American public right now is taking some kind of psychiatric medication. I find that shocking.
Yeah, I find it very shocking. I have heard those numbers. And the more that I speak with families and try, and the more that I consult with women and try and understand their family history and how they got to be here, the more I realize that everybody in their family is suffering from a mental mental illness or a physical illness.
It's true. It's changed so much. It used to be that communicable diseases, contagious diseases, were the huge societal burden. And as those have come under control, it just seems as if now we have this huge problem with mental disorders. And I need to say something. Obviously, your audience already knows I'm going to be talking about nutrition as one very important factor, and especially in the second segment of the program next week. But I'm every once in a while going to try to remind all of us that there are very important social factors. And I always say the simplest solution to have a huge impact on the prevalence rate of mental disorders would be to simply end poverty and end war. If we could do those two things, we'd have a very large impact on the worldwide burden of mental disorders. But that's not what we're going to be talking about in this program, but we need to know that's in the background.
And I think that is brilliant, and I'm so glad you brought that into the picture, because certainly those two issues alone have affected us more than anything else. I think that we are finally waking up to realize that the war and the post-traumatic stress syndrome, the chemical exposure, the brain trauma from the constant ammunition is really affecting our families, our veterans.
Very much so. And also the people who live in those war-torn zones. I mean, think about the people in Syria. Such a significant proportion of the population has been uprooted.
And those effects go on for generations, and certainly the toxic effects. We've only got less than 2 minutes left in this segment, Bonnie, so I really don't want to dive in deeply into what you'll be talking about. I do want to mention as well that I did post an article this morning on my blog about another study, Hormone Damage in Uterus is Linked to Anxiety. And this came out of Cambridge and Cardiff Universities, and I just posted it. So it would appear today, timely with the show, and I know we'll be talking about hormones more next week. But once again, for women and men as well, I mean, it all begins in the uterus. It all begins with the maternal health and the paternal health before we even begin to have children, on how the health of that child is going to be affected. And the study basically says if there's hormone damage in the uterus, it's going to link to anxiety, and that if that is not addressed at an early age, that will lead to more disorders and problems with mental health down the road. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it, Bonnie?
No, Leslie, I do have information on that from my own research that relates to nutrition. Do we have time before the break for me to comment
on that?
Well,
we've got less than 30 seconds, so we might not.
I'll just tell you that we're doing a longitudinal cohort study of pregnant women in Alberta. We have about 2,200 women and their babies, and we're tracking them throughout pregnancy and postpartum. And, of course, we're looking at the intrauterine nutritional environment, but we're also looking at the stress hormones like cortisol. And our hypothesis, which I can't absolutely support yet, but we know it's true in animal studies, is that nutrient status serves as a buffer in that exact kind of environment that you're describing. So it all kind of works together. And the better nourished you are, the better your body and your brain are able to cope with these things.
And it is as simple as that. Thank you, Bonnie. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Bonnie Kaplan.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication? Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms. Go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is dedicated to all the women who have ever experienced a hormone fluctuation, to the generations of women who have died because they had forgotten the source of their being. The richly illustrated groundbreaking book, co-authored by Leslie Carroll Botha and H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, is the product of a 9-year project which represents the author's shared passion and unified purpose to provide women with the education they need to reclaim their bodies and their souls. Find the book today. Click the link on the radio show page.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carroll Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to leslie@holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. I'm Leslie Botha, your host. My guest today is Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, and we're doing a two-part series. Today we're focusing on understanding your mind, mood, and micronutrients, setting the stage. And next week we will be discussing the treatment studies around micronutrient therapy and mood disorders. Welcome back, Dr. Kaplan. We just really dived into that first segment and shared a lot of information, but I need to bring genetics into all of this. I mean, genetics, we have been told, is such a strong player in our physical health, in our mental health, in the diseases that we have may have a chance to develop sometime in our lifetime. Can we talk about that for a moment?
Oh, I'd be pleased to do that, Leslie, because I encounter something kind of interesting when I speak about nutritional work in the public. I occasionally encounter people who say, well, the nutrition can't be very important. We know it's all genetic. We can look in our family. We can see that these problems run in our family. It's all genetic. And I have to say, but what does that mean? Knowing that there's a genetic predisposition for anything, including a mental disorder, that doesn't answer any question. What we need to know is what those genes do. And it's very interesting to note that way back in 1974, what is that, like almost 40 years ago, Nobel laureate Linus Pauling wrote the following: the genes for mental illness are likely the genes that regulate brain metabolism of essential nutrients. That is, wow, to me, a really, really brilliant comment. But back in 1974, Linus Pauling wouldn't have even known about the role of nutrition in modulating genes. We now call it epigenetics. That field didn't even exist back then. For instance, we know that humans have about 24,000 genes, and these are coding regions of our DNA. And for almost all of these genes, we inherit one from our father and one from our mother. And we used to think, in Linus Pauling's time, we used to think that if you inherited a gene for, I don't know, blue eyes, brown eyes or something, you simply had brown eyes. But now we know that how brown your eyes are can be influenced by intrauterine exposure to a variety of environmental factors. In fact, Leslie, you know, sorry if I'm giving you a long answer here, but it's a fascinating topic.
It is fascinating. Yeah, go ahead.
You know how the nature-nurture debate, we used to talk about nature and nurture? We don't even talk about that anymore, because epigenetics is how nurture modifies nature. For instance, our genes don't express themselves in a yes-no fashion. You don't have a gene that is either on or off, at least not for the ones that are being studied so far. Think of your genes as dimmer switches. And it turns out that nutrients are the major category being studied for factors that turn the dimmer switch up or down. Is that kind of clear? Does that sound?
Yes, and that's a great analogy. Absolutely.
Okay, so for example, actually, this one's a little more than an analogy. It's well known, and the mechanism by which the dimmer switch is goes up and down, or the mechanisms, plural, there are quite a few that are very well worked out, and we know that nutrients influence that. And I'll give you an example from a mouse model where its coat color, I just used the example in humans about eye color, but its coat color can be changed based on what vitamins it gets in utero. So think about what that means. Coat color, the hair color of a mouse, is genetically determined. Our eye color is genetically determined. Our hair color, all these things are influenced by genes, but the dimmer switch can go up or down. And we think that the same thing is happening with mental disorders.
Very interesting. And the analogy and the visual that was coming to my mind was a dimmer switch on a light switch on a wall for the overhead light.
Exactly.
So that's where I said analogy, because that's what I was looking at. But yes, if you're the dimmer switch is crucial.
It is. And you're right. It's just think of the lights in your home that are on dimmer switches. And right now, the only thing that influences your lights is whether you turn the dimmer switch. But the genes, the expression of our genes, can be altered by environmental factors. And that's how nurture is modifying nature, and why nature and nurture are no longer separable. So that's really relevant to nutrition.
Well, it is very relevant to nutrition, and of course brings up a great concern, and people need to be aware of this, that over 276 chemicals and heavy metals, BPA,
yes,
as well as other toxins, have been found in the umbilical cord.
Yes, and
now, how does that going to come into play in all of this?
Well, it turns out that if you look at the research in epigenetics, the second most common set of factors that is being studied right now are what are called the neurotoxicants, the toxins in our environment. But there are tens of thousands of them. I mean, it's going to take many, many lifetimes to study all of them, and that has some implications for how we let our governments control our exposure to toxins.
And that's a big job ahead. So, I mean, really, another analogy that I use, Bonnie, and maybe this will help us get into the topic, is that we prepare our cars for winter, we prepare our homes for winter, we switch out the screens and put on the storm windows, yet we do very little to prepare our bodies for anything.
That's true.
Pregnancy, for medications, for going into surgery, for any stressful situation in our lives, and this drains, this constant stress and life experience continually drains us. And then we wake up and wonder how we got here.
That's right. And the here that we're in right now is really rather frightening.
And that's... Yes. Yeah. And let's go back to talking about this global mental illness epidemic and how we are, and I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure you would agree as well. But how did we get even to this place?
Well, one way we got to this place, Leslie, is by ignoring history. And, you know, somewhere somebody famous said, if you ignore history, you're going to have to repeat it. And sometimes I feel as if my entire research career has been spent proving things that were known hundreds, in fact, actually thousands of years ago, which makes me a little crazy. But, you know, we seem to have to keep proving things with every generation. Our methods change, our knowledge changes. But what we know now about nutrition and mental health, I can take you back to the time of the Bible and show you the first clinical trial of nutrition and mental function. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Well, go look at the book of Daniel. Daniel was one of the exiles in the court of Nebuchadnezzar II. That was during the Babylonian exile when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. And they left Jerusalem, moved to Babylonia, and they lived not as slaves there. This was about 586 before the Common Era, okay? So in the very first chapter of the book of Daniel, we're told that King Nebuchadnezzar, for some reason that we'll never know, decided to do a little experiment on food because he noticed, I guess, that the royal youth were not doing as well as some of the Hebrew youth who had been brought from Jerusalem. So he wanted to give the Hebrew young men a daily portion of the king's food and wine for 3 years. And Daniel, who was the leader of the Hebrew youth, said he didn't want to do that because I guess he thought it would be a matter of contaminating his body or something. So he proposed a 10-day clinical trial. He asked that he and his friends could be allowed to consume only pulse and water. Now, pulse is some of the legumes. So
okay.
It's a vegetarian diet with water, but very high in vitamins and minerals. And then compare them to the royal youth eating royal food. Now, I'm going to give you the quote right from the book of Daniel, and I'm sure some of your listeners are Googling this as I speak. At the end of 10 days, their countenances, that's the Hebrew youth, appeared fairer than all the youths that did eat of the king's food. Now, from that, this is me speaking, I'm guessing that their skin cleared up, okay? But mm-hmm. Then here's the real kicker. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king required of them, he found them 10 times better. In other words, you know, back, 2,500 years ago, they showed that diet affected brain function, cognitive skills. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I think that is amazing. But I also go back to what our grandmothers and now perhaps great-great-grandmothers and their grandmothers taught them. When you weren't feeling well, what did they do? They'd say, eat.
Eat. That's right.
You know, the great Jewish mother, eat.
Eat.
The chicken
eat.
Soup,
That's
you know,
right.
And everything. And we'd all feel so much better. And and we'd get healthy. So when we come back from the second break, we're going to go from how we got from eating to drugging.
Okay.
To masking the symptoms instead of really giving the body the nutrition that it needs to support itself. I mean, to me, that is such common sense. And perhaps, Bonnie, with just a couple of minutes, perhaps it's time for women's wisdom to be coming back into what we call medicine/healing arts.
Absolutely.
And bringing some common sense back into the story.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you about Mrs. Beaton when we come back, okay?
Okay, I can't wait to hear about Mrs. Beaton. Once again, you're listening to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. I'm Leslie Botha, your host. Dr. Bonnie Kaplan is my guest for a two-part series on understanding your mind, mood, and micronutrients. We are taking a different track on this show in introducing new ways of thinking about mood disorders and your physical health. We have to move away from the one pill for every ill mentality that has dominated our life now for the past, two or three decades? Is that about right, Bonnie?
Oh,
even longer?
1950s. Yeah, 1950s, right.
Yes, when we became accustomed to
taking a medical, pharmacological.
Taking pills,
yeah.
Yep, to making us feel better. My father was a pharmaceutical packaging salesman, I remember that he would bring home stuffed animals, but also experimental pills for us to take.
Oh, interesting.
I know.
And look how you turned out, right?
Well, thank goodness. Well, my mother said eat. My grandmother said eat. So, I think we did that. But, we have to move away from this one pill for every ill mentality, and we'll get right into that right after the break. Stay with us.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is dedicated to all the women who have ever experienced a hormone fluctuation, to the generations of women who have died because they had forgotten the source of their being. The richly illustrated groundbreaking book, co-authored by Leslie Carroll Botha and H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, is the product of a 9-year project which represents the author's shared passion and unified purpose to provide women with the education they need to reclaim their bodies and their souls. Find the book today. Click the link on the radio show page.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication?
Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms. Go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carol Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to Leslie at holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everyone. My guest today is Dr. Bonnie Kaplan. We're talking about understanding your mind, mood, and micronutrients. We're setting the stage by looking at a timeline of events, trying to understand how we got from nutritional therapy and clinical trials as dated back in the biblical times, and all the way up to this global epidemic of mental illness that is facing so many of us right now. Bonnie and I had a quick chat over the break, and we wanted to really continue this timeline, and we're going to jump from biblical times up until about 100 years ago. Right, Bonnie?
Right. I just wanted to tell your listeners about two really charming books. One was Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management, first published in 1861, and it was a guide to how to run a household in Victorian Britain. It had over 1,000 pages of recipes and everything, and there was all this stuff in there about the importance of using food to help people feel better, which Hippocrates, of course, had talked about too. There's this great quote, I just want to read it. "Diet can often cure where drugs are useless, or worse. Diet is always harmless, where drugs are usually dangerous." I think that's a great little piece. And then more recently, there's a wonderful book that some of your listeners who grew up in homesteading situations or had ancestors who farmed, lived in, you know, Iowa and the prairie provinces of Canada, they might be familiar with a book that was very popular from 1910, called The People's Home Library, which told people everything about how to run their homestead, how to run a farm, how to take care of livestock. And it said very explicitly that the primary cause of mental problems was imperfect nutrition. So what makes me kind of nuts sometimes myself, Leslie, is if they knew it in 1910, which doesn't seem that long ago to me because I was born in the 1940s. So 1910 is recent history. And if they already knew that nutrition, imperfect nutrition, was the cause of mental problems, why do we still have to do all these expensive studies now? How did we lose that knowledge?
How did we lose that knowledge? Is it just part of the whole thinking of the time, well, if nature does it this way, we can do it better, and we can make more money at it in doing it better. We can refine nature. I mean, isn't that part of the thinking that we have had, not just in terms of medicine and medical practices, but also in terms of travel and communication systems and industrializing the planet?
You're right. It is a whole cultural attitude, isn't it? And part of that cultural attitude was spawned, I think, post-World War II. So much happened after World War II that changed, that industrialized so much, and also spawned the pharmacological what's called a revolution. Someday we might have a different name for it, which has delivered on many promises. I mean, look at where we are with antibiotics and the control of communicable diseases and so forth. But in the area of mental health, I think a lot of us think that even though medications are important, it has failed to deliver on its promises. And we have an entire generation or two of people now who think that if you have a problem with how you're thinking or how you're feeling, all you need is a sort of an antibiotic. Go look for a pill made from a pharmaceutical company. And we've forgotten all that other knowledge we've been talking about.
Well, it's not just an antibiotic for a mental illness. It's more like a happy pill or a psychotropic or an antidepressant. And that we are starting at an earlier and earlier age. I want to bring in some of the work and the research that I have been doing, and a guest who will be coming on September 5th, Holly Griggs-Ball, also refers to this in her book that's coming out, Sweetening the Pill, How We Got Hooked on Hormonal Birth Control. And she brings up the point, and I've read this over and over again, that, and this is a real serious issue for women, and this, as I mentioned at the top of the show, goes back to Aristotle times. It has been thought that mental illness was a part of being a female. It's tied into our reproductive organs. And again, I'm such a big buff on history, and I'm glad you're bringing in the historical part of this, because unless you understand the timeline, we're never going to understand now when we go into our doctor's office, then they say, oh, it's all in your head, honey. And I call it the take two Valium and go home, honey syndrome. But it goes back hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years based on information that women are not taught about, this real neuroendocrine immune system connection. That is not nutrated and balanced and healthy, that it just it fails over time. And not only fails over time, it creates a whole stigma that women have to live with, that our femaleness is a mental illness just by the fact that we are females.
As you know, I don't know much about the endocrine system except, you know, the research that we're doing in our longitudinal study, but I think that you're onto something here, Leslie, and it's really important for people to try to get over what I call the magic pill expectation. There is this belief that whatever you have that's wrong with you, male or female, but I understand your emphasis on the female issues here, all you need to do is take the right pill. And by pill, the magic pill, I'm not referring to natural nutrition or anything, or even supplementary nutrition. I'm talking about it has to be something made by drug companies. Because look at drug companies. I mean, they brought us antibiotics. They brought us so many great medications, which is true. So they must have the answers for everything wrong with women or anybody else. And it's a mindset that's bad, really deficient.
It creates it's such a depression for a woman. You know, when I got into radio 35 years ago, I would do shows on PMS and women would call me afterwards and say, oh my God, I thought I was the only one who felt this way. Mm-hmm. And what we have done too is we have separated women. We have kept them from knowing their history. We have kept them from understanding this, the endocrine system health. And oh, by the way, Bonnie, if you want to know more, I got a really great book for you. Mm-hmm. The one we wrote.
Right.
But, you know, and we've separated women from each other, lack of education. And so it really sets us up to become, you know, just innocent people, innocent about our body, our functioning, and then so dependent on reaching out to others to helping us understand what is going on.
Right. I think one of the things that's happened with the tremendous new interest in nutrition in the last, say, 10 years, is that more and more people are less dependent. They're becoming, taking greater responsibility for their own health and asking when they have a problem first, what can I find out about a natural way to take care of it? Of course, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But I'm hopeful that more and more women, especially for PMS, will find on their own, because their doctors aren't probably going to tell them, that there are a lot of micronutrients, especially the B-complex vitamins, have been shown really clearly to help many, many women decrease PMS symptoms. There's such good science in that very particular area, but I'll bet you it's a rare physician who is telling their women, their female patients who come in with PMS problems, to first of all go and enhance their nutrition. They probably just don't do it because they're not comfortable talking about nutrition.
Well, and nutrition certainly is a very complex topic. Unless you're a nutritionist, I can see where they wouldn't be comfortable in talking about it. But nutrition is almost like medicine. Eat this for this and eat this for this instead of targeting the motherboard, as I called it in the last show. The brain, the motherboard.
Right.
Let her do her work, right? Isn't that, and that's where your work focuses.
Well, and that's why I am so pleased to be studying broad spectrum treatment, because the idea that a single nutrient is going to solve all the things going on in our brains makes no sense once you look a little bit at brain metabolism. You know, and could I say a couple more things about brain function, since we're on to
yes.
that these are what I call neat little factoids about the brain that, pardon me, people find interesting. If you look at your overall body weight, the brain is only about 2% of your body weight, but it actually consumes, nobody knows exactly how much, but probably 40% or so of our metabolism is consumed by your brain. So this tiny little organ has to be fed way more than any other organ in the body. And by the way, the heart is second. So when you're eating, you are constantly, constantly feeding your brain and your heart. And the other related comment I'd make is that every single minute your heart is beating, a quart of blood passes through your brain. What's it doing there, Leslie? Do you know what it's doing?
No.
Well, it's bringing oxygen, of course.
Okay.
But the other thing, yeah, but it's also bringing nutrients. Every single nook and cranny of your brain is sucking up nutrients for every single minute that you are alive. If your heart is beating, if your brain is getting blood with nutrients in it, it is disproportionately consuming those nutrients. So you need to ask, everybody needs to ask themselves, what have you eaten in the last day? What are you bathing your brain in? You know, if it's empty calories, your brain in that quart of blood every minute is not getting what it needs to function at its optimal level. That's what they knew back in 1910, that you need optimal nutrition, really good nutrition to make your brain work well.
And they knew that in 1910?
They did. So that it was universally spread through this people's home library that, you know, here's what to do if someone breaks a leg because there's no medical care out in the prairies. Here's what to do for your livestock. And by the way, if anyone starts having emotional or mental problems, improve their nutrition.
And certainly, let's talk about livestock, and we're just going to go right into our next break then, is that we give our livestock mineral blocks, cattle,
yes.
horses,
mm-hmm.
and those minerals are essential for brain health and development.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about another factoid, and Bonnie says that over 90 cells in and out of our bodies are not human. So what does that mean? Stay with us, and we'll find out right after the next break.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you taking medications for depression, anxiety, or hyperactivity? Are you one of the millions of people who have experienced negative side effects from your medication? Do you notice that you just don't feel like yourself? For decades, the nutrient therapy leaders at True Hope have helped tens of thousands of children and adults replace their medications with Empower Plus, an all-natural multivitamin and mineral complex clinically proven to fix the issues rather than cover them up. If you or someone you know is ready for a natural solution that works, go to www.truehope.com to learn more. 20 medical journal publications show that the Empower Plus formulation can replace harsh medications. Thousands of people taking all-natural Empower Plus are medication-free without a return of symptoms.
go to www.truehope.com or call 888-878-3467 to try a bottle of Empower Plus today. Type in offer code RADIO for 25% off your first order. Again, that's www.truehope.com or 888-878-3467.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Holy Hormones, Honey, with Leslie Carol Botha. To call into our program today, please dial 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to leslie@holyhormones.com. Now, back to the show.
Hello, everyone, and we've got one segment left in the first part of our series, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Micronutrients, setting the stage with psychology researcher Dr. Bonnie Kaplan. And she has been giving us a brilliant overview of really what should be common sense, nutrition versus medication. But let's start off with where I led us into, Bonnie, and kept everyone hanging for a minute and a half, that over 90% of the cells in and on our bodies are not human. If they're not human, then what are they?
That's a really interesting thing to contemplate. Only 10% of us is human. When you think of the basic cells of our entire structure and all the cells inside our body and on our body, and nowhere is that more important than in our gastrointestinal systems. That's where an awful lot of those non-human cells reside. And this has been known for ages, that it's now being called the microbiome, and that these microorganisms in our gut, which are all kinds of different organisms, are the ones that synthesize many of our vitamins, certainly extract vitamins from different foods, metabolize those vitamins and minerals, and enable us to absorb them. And so if your gut is not working well, you can take all the supplements you can buy off the shelf, including Empower Plus, and you might not be absorbing them. So the first thing everyone really needs to pay attention to if they want to optimize their health is getting their gut working well. And there are ways to do that. There are naturopathic doctors who work with the more difficult cases, but basically it's eating properly, taking probiotics or enzymes if needed, and so forth. I don't do that kind of clinical work, but I understand that there are many ways to go about it.
And so I do know that True Hope does have a probiotic, and that their product is extremely bioavailable, but we'll go into that next week.
Okay.
For sure. But really, only 10% of our cells are human.
Yes.
Everything else is microorganism?
Leslie, walk around tomorrow and just keep telling yourself, I am only 10% human. It really changes your view of what we are doing and what our functions are. And
well, it's a long way from Freud and the ego, don't you think?
It certainly is.
So then if we're 10% human cells, then we are really, then the rest of us, microorganisms.
Microbes. That's right. Bacterial, viruses, all kinds of different microbes, which way out of my field of expertise. But it's very relevant to our emerging model of what happens in relationship to a lot of mental symptoms. And some of your listeners will know that people are always talking about inflammation, inflammatory markers, oxidative stress, etc. This is all very logical and related to what we know about mental disorders. Many people with depression and anxiety have elevated levels of inflammatory markers when their blood is tested. Their GI systems, their guts are not working very well. And so when you look at things like inflammation and GI function and the microbiome and oxidative stress and so forth, the logical treatment is almost all nutritional. I mean, it is. That's why I think we're bordering on a real breakthrough in our models of how we think about health and wellness. And the area that I'm most excited about is that for the first time, just last month, we had an organizing meeting of a new international scientific society. It's called the International Society for Nutritional Psychiatry Research. And actually, our first general meeting is tonight by international telephone. And we are a group of people who study everything from all over the world, inflammation, mitochondrial output, which is also influenced by nutrient intake, oxidative stress, the health of populations from in terms of nutrient intake, and then people like me who study clinically the stuff I'm going to be talking about next week, and that is treatment with nutrient formulas. So this new society, ISNPR, is an indication of a change in the way of our thinking, and that's what we were talking about before the break, is that the old way of thinking about health and wellness, it's changing. It has to change.
And it does have to change. And this is a great place for me to mention that Anthony Steffen, who is the founder of True Hope Incorporated, will be speaking at the Brain Solutions Conference. And that is the first Brain Solutions Conference in Vancouver, Canada, August 24th to 25th. He will be joining the platform with other leaders in this movement that is redefining leadership for the 21st century. And that's Dr. Daniel Amen, Dr. Rashid Buttar, Yogi Ashokananda, Fred Travis, PhD, Natasha Trenev, Dr. Gabor Mate, and Udo Erasmus. You can find out more information about this exciting event on my blog, but the Brain Solutions Conference organizers are graciously offering listeners of this program free general admission tickets to the two-day event. So please email me at leslie@holyhormones.com. I will be glad to email you your promotional code to register online for this groundbreaking event. And also want to mention that True Hope Incorporated is offering 25% off on the Empower Plus micronutrient supplement for listeners of the show. So give them a call today. They do have a team up there that is ready to stand by, take your phone calls, and also discuss and educate you about your mental health issues and why this product could be so helpful. Bonnie, I think it's all very exciting to have this whole new field opening up. You're stepping right into this. I mean, we could really, let's put it this way. In this very bleak of times of a global mental illness epidemic, there is so much hope and promise that we can move ourselves out of it.
I think there is, but, you know, I would never want to be a registered dietitian. I often say this, Leslie, because as Margaret Mead, the social anthropologist, said back in the 50s, it's easier to change a person's religion than it is to change the way they eat. And I can give you some data from my own area here in Calgary that is just so depressing about how people eat. But it was estimated here in a regional analysis that individuals not meeting the daily nutrient requirements ranged from 72 to 87%, depending on the social district. I mean, even the best social district was 72% not meeting their nutrient needs. And by the way, that includes pregnant women. And that's really disturbing in terms of fetal exposure, right?
And that is disturbing, and also because we have an epidemic of postpartum depression, which is now being labeled as postpartum psychosis. And if a woman is nutritionally depleted going into pregnancy, right, Bonnie, then what happens?
Well, I can't say that the cause-effect has been proven, Leslie.
Okay.
I'm wearing my scientific hat. I have to say that we believe, that's what we're studying in APRN, the Alberta Pregnancy Outcomes and Nutrition Study. We believe that there are nutrient predictors of maternal mental health throughout pregnancy and postpartum, but I don't have the data to prove that yet. But we certainly have a lot of anecdotes, and I mean, Autumn's incredible experience that she talked about, that's a beautiful example. Well, it's not beautiful. It's an astounding example, isn't it?
Well, and then now you're doing the research that we will have the data and that we will get it published like so many of your other studies, so that we can stand up and say, there's hope. We've got hope. We've got data. We've got research. It's independent. And let's change how we look at mood disorders and let's get our health back. And that's what we'll be focusing on next week on understanding your mind, mood, and micronutrients when Dr. Bonnie Kaplan joins me for another intriguing interview on the actual treatment studies, the empirical data behind the micronutrient therapy. And so that we can understand that this is science-based evidence. It used to be common sense, but now we have progressed where it is now science-based evidence. With less than 30 seconds, Dr. Kaplan, do you have a closing statement?
Well, no, just a pleasure to talk to you because I think public awareness really has to change. And one of the most upsetting and depressing experiences that many of us have when studying nutrient treatment of mental disorders is that we have some occasional, not rare, cases of people who do brilliantly on the formula of vitamins and minerals, and they stop taking it because they say, I can't believe that vitamins and minerals are responsible for my mental health. That is a matter of worldwide education, because if not vitamins and minerals, what else? I mean, we are what we eat. How can it be otherwise?
And we will leave it at that. Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, thank you very much. And for all of you following this program, the archive will be up within an hour. We'll be back next week, Thursday, August 22nd at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 Pacific Time, for Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Micronutrients, the Treatment Studies. Have a great week, everyone, and blessings.
Thanks for tuning in to Holy Hormones, Honey. Please join host Leslie Carol Botha again next Thursday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great and healthy week.